You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. When it comes to performance, there's theater, and then there are concerts. This time of year, big outdoor music festivals are popping up all over the Bay Area. Thousands of music fans wouldn't consider it to be summer without them. But a lot of fans might not know that the Bay Area is the place where these spectacles really got their start. And the person most responsible for that, legendary music promoter Bill Graham. Bill Graham and the Rock and Roll Revolution is the name of a major exhibit now showing at the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco. It examines the life of this unlikely concert promoter who transformed the way people listen to live music. KALW's Stephen Short visited the exhibit and brings us this report.
The 1960s and 70s were a time of social upheaval. Live music was a big part of those changes. And bands from San Francisco contributed to the soundtrack of the era. One
pill makes you larger. It was all new, you know, and everything was experimental. It was very fresh.
The late Bill Graham, heard here in archival tape, was there at the beginning. Visitors to this exhibit at San Francisco's Contemporary Jewish Museum can hear Graham's voice and those of people who knew him while viewing hundreds of artifacts. The first thing on display is the original sign that greeted ticket holders at Graham's Fillmore Music Hall. The sign reads, "Take one or two," and it hangs over a bucket of apples. The idea was to make the place homey, a tradition that continues at the club to this day. It's notable because Bill Graham himself had such a rough beginning. He was born in Berlin, but was sent away as a boy to escape the Nazis. His circuitous journey eventually landed him in the Bronx, where a Jewish family took him in, as Graham explains.
The first few months that I spent here in America, I was in this human pet shop building. What happens is on weekends, people would come to this building and look at children to take into their homes. And I was not a very nice young man, rather belligerent, rather negative thoughts about life, and from what I remember now. But I was an angry young person.
Graham was 11 when he arrived in the U.S., learning English from the son of his adopted family. He got his first taste of show business at 18 while working at hotels in New York's Catskill Mountains, famous as the place where many Jewish American comedians got their starts. He tried his hand at acting, first in New York, then Los Angeles, before realizing that he couldn't take the rejection. But show business still had an appeal when he arrived in Northern California, where he became the manager of the San Francisco Mime Troupe in the mid-1960s.
When he landed here, he found his home.
As David Graham, one of his sons, explains, Bill Graham fell in love with the Bay Area.
And I know for a fact that he was really never really comfortable anywhere else, and he related greatly to the people, the geography, and the general spirit of the Bay Area in a major way.
Comfortable or not, Graham was infamous for his fiery temper. And, as son David says, that came in handy.
And he had to be hard because, you know, people got out of hand. And he had to sort of be the guy with the clipboard. I mean, he was always proud to be, you know, for lack of a better phrase, the straight guy.
Or, as Graham himself explained it,
I always felt that someone had to relate to reality. That was me. Somebody had to try to make sure that things went okay.
And he was an incredibly hardcore business guy, but he had a huge heart. So I think that those Fillmore years is when that heart, it was there always, but I think it was brought out because of the spirit of the area and the what was going on with the younger generation in San Francisco.
The spirit of those Fillmore years is liberally represented at the exhibit by dozens of psychedelic concert posters with their swirling lettering and dreamy illustrations. Large framed photos of bands and their audiences give some perspective on the San Francisco pop music scene of the time. Here's a young, fit B.B. King posing for the camera. There's Jerry Garcia and Bob Dylan playing outside the Oakland Coliseum. On another wall is a stunning photo of Pete Townshend of The Who, taken from behind the stage as he tosses his guitar dangerously high in the air. Guitars, both damaged and intact, are also included in the show. So is one of Janis Joplin's outfits, a velvet top, bell bottoms, her trademark feather boa, and a tambourine, along with private Graham family photos on view for the first time.
He really brought this live music out into the public sphere and gave young kids like us at the time permission to stand up and to dance along with the music.
Lori Starr is the executive director of the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco. She says that while most people think of Bill Graham as just a music promoter, his involvement went much deeper than that. He was also a mentor to performers.
There's a famous story that Carlos Santana tells of every time he would perform, Bill Graham would come backstage and have a long list of things he needed to do better on a clipboard. And then finally, Carlos Santana performs somewhere, and he's all nervous about what Bill Graham's going to say, and Bill Graham turns the clipboard around and there's nothing on it.
Starr sees this show as a momentous event, one with historic importance.
There's never been a show of this epic ambition around telling Bill Graham's story from his earliest years as a hidden child of the Holocaust to his epic career as the greatest rock and roll impresario we will ever know.
Spoken like a rock promoter. At the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco, I'm Stephen Short for Cross Currents.